He may be bad at sports, but he loves talking about them. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVF.
Bum, 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 ba-dum, ba-dum. A duck walked up to a lemonade stand, and he said to the man running the stand, "Hey, bum, 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 got any grapes?" The man said, "No, we just sell lemonade, but it's cold and it's fresh and it's all homemade. Can I get you a glass?" The duck said, "I'll pass." Then he waddled away, waddle, waddle, till the very next day, bum, 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 ba-dum. When the duck walked up to the lemonade stand, and he said to the man running the stand, "Hey, bum, 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 got any grapes?" The man said, "No, like I said yesterday, we just sell lemonade, okay? Why not give it a try?" The duck said, "Goodbye." Then he waddled away, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away, waddle, waddle. Till the very next day, bum, 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 ba-dum. When the duck walked up.
Welcome to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. That was the Duck Song, one of my daughter's favorite songs because it is a very dumb song. But she loves those kind of songs, and I have to constantly listen to them on the YouTube, so I thought I would pair you with it as well. Once again, this is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show. My name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at IanLaird3 on the Twitter or at kgvm.org on your interwebs. The Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. With countless TVs and specials, catch all the big games, including the Open Championship over in Ireland that is going on right now, located at 19 Tide Lane by the MSU campus. Phone number is 587-2156. That's Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where local sports authority. Lots to cover today, including baseball scores from around the valley from the past week. Big Sky preseason honors came out earlier this week as well. We'll delve into those and look at the D-line for the Cats going into next season. But first, as always, we start with local or national news, I should say. We'll start over at the Open that we just mentioned. Roy McIlroy starts the Open in his native Northern Ireland and couldn't have been worse for him. McIlroy, the favorite to win the 148th Open Championship at Royal Portruth Golf Club, hit his tee shot to start the entire round out of bounds, ended up with a quadruple bogey 8 on the par 4 421-yard hole. McIlroy opened drive, hit a woman, and cracked the screen of a mobile phone on her pocket or in her pocket. After a one-stroke penalty, McIlroy hit his second shot into the deep rough on the left side of the fairway. His fourth shot was low and ended up in even thicker rough on the left side of the green. He was forced to take an unplayable lie at that point near the green. All of this led to a starting quadruple bogey. And for all of us golfers out there, we know exactly how that goes. We've all been there where it's that one hole, or from in my case, 18 holes in a row every time I play, where just no shot seems to go where you want it to. It's how did I hit that all the way in the rough? Then you hit it back onto the fairway. Your next shot goes back into the rough. And it's just one of those things. It's why golf is so great and so awful at the same time. But we're not pros. You don't normally see that with the pros in those kind of things. So let's take a quick look at the leaderboard as we speak. Right now, the leader is J.B. Holmes at 5-under. He is done for the day at 5-under. Sean Lowry shot a 4-under. He started things off earlier in the day and was the leader through most of it. John Rahm is at 4-under. He was at 5-under earlier, but he fell back one. Some notables right now tied for fourth is Brooks Koepka at -3. He's done for the day as well, shot a 68. Ricky Fowler also done. He's at -1 for the first day. Tied for 43rd is Dustin Johnson at even par, Zach Johnson at +3, and now we get a little higher. Zach Johnson at +3, he is done for the day. Phil Mickelson at +5, he is done for the day. Tiger Woods right now is at +6, tied for 141st. That is through 17. Tiger Woods started off with a bunch of pars, but then went bogey, double bogey, bogey, par, bogey. So four of his last five holes on the front nine, he either bogeyed or double bogeyed. Ended up 10 with a bogey as well, bogeyed 14, and then birdied 15 to at least get it back to 6 over. But 6 over is a long way away from the lead. Rory McIlroy, who we talked about earlier, ended at 8 over and tied for 150th and last place right now. And this is a score I would shoot, so it's very surprising. David Duval struggled for quite a few years. He won the Masters or one of the majors and then kind of fell off after that. Right now he's tied in the world rankings for 261st, but he's 156 in this tournament. He shot a 20 over 91. Rarely do you see a professional golfer shoot 20 over on a course. So I don't know if that's impressive or sad or what it is, but none of those players that I mentioned right there, from about Zach Johnson down, from 3 over up to 8 over or so where Rory McIlroy is, they're all going to need something amazingly special tomorrow to get it done. Right now, it's early in the tournament, but the cut line looks to be right about +1. So they're going to need some big time low scores tomorrow to keep in this thing. In other golf news, a little closer to home, the PGA Barbasol Championship in Kentucky is going on right now. Nick Taylor starts really strong, going 6 under through his first 9 holes. Currently, Nick is 2nd place, done for the day at -9, shot 9 under for the day. JT Poston birdied the last hole to go 10 under, so 1 shot above Nick. 3rd place is Wes Roach at -8. Then it goes down to some familiar names for golfers. Ricky Barnes is at 6 under. Chopra, easy for me to say, is 5 under. Boo Weekly is at 4 under. So not some of the big, huge names. David Toms at 4 under. Martin Laird at 4 under as well. So none of the big names that are of the Open, but this tournament is worth 300 points. If you win it, you get 2 years, this plus another 2 years exemption for your card, so you don't have to worry about making the 125 or any of that. So right now, if Nick stays at 2nd, he will move up 44 spots to the top 100. And also have a very good chance of making that 125. If he wins it, of course, he doesn't have to worry about anything. He picks his schedule for the next couple of years. This is, because it's a 300 hole or a 300 score or point total, I guess, for FedEx Cups, it does not count towards the Masters or some of the other ones where if you win a tournament, you get in. You need that to be a 500 point FedEx Cup point round, and this one's only 3. But good luck to Nick going for his 2nd overall victory in the PGA. Moving on to NBA news, the Oklahoma City Thunder discussion to move 9-time All-Star guard Chris Paul to a new destination has parked for a little bit now, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen until at least the beginning of the year. Oklahoma City has been working with Paul and his representatives on finding a trade, but nothing materialized so deep into summer free agency. Sources said both sides believe there are benefits to Paul, 34 now, playing out the season for the Thunder. For now, there is a belief that there could be more success exploring trade scenarios again around December 15th. That's when the rosters can open up before the last push towards the playoffs or even a completion of the 2019-2020 season, whichever way they want to go. Because the Houston-Oklahoma City trade came so late in free agency, coupled with the fact that, and you're not hearing this wrong, $124 million left on Paul's contract. There are very few teams that are going to take that over, and so that's why they're having a tough time trading him. I don't think he's a bad player. He is injury-prone, but he's getting older. But $124 million for basically a backup point guard is not something any team is really going to want to do if they don't have to. If theirs gets hurt and something like that happens, then you can see that going down. Moving on to the NFL, as Melvin Gordon's contract impasse reaches a week, Los Angeles Chargers running back says that teammates and running backs around the league support him. Gordon said he gave some teammates the heads up that he would threaten to hold out and didn't get a new deal done by, well, the starting of training camp, really. So he's basically telling them, I'm done if you don't pay me. Gordon, 26, who was the 15th overall draft by the Chargers in 2015, is entering the final year of his rookie contract, a 5-year option worth $5.6 million. However, agent, Fletcher Smith told ESPN's Adam Schefter last Thursday that without a new deal, Gordon will not report to training camp and will demand a trade. So I get what he's saying. It's his 6th year. He's not getting paid. A lot of us, and me included, thinks $5.6 million is a huge chunk of change. But that's one of the lower salaries there probably is out there for a running back. It's his 5th year. That's kind of the deal. If you're not a top 10 player, that 5th year option doesn't have to be as much. I get why he wants more money, but no team is going to shell out max money for a 6-year-old quarter or a running back that has had some injuries in the past, hasn't played a full year. And the running back, just because of the damage that they take, whether it be running the ball, just getting trucked by 300-pound linemen and 250-pound linebackers that can also run 4.3 40s, It wears on a guy. Plus, at the running back position, you're also supposed to block for the quarterback and everything else. So you're getting hit pretty much every single play. Wide receivers, they don't get the ball. They don't get hit. A lot of those can last longer. But running back is just getting pounded every single play and every single time he gets the ball. So I get why, hey, I need to get my money now because who knows what's going to happen. But a lot of these teams are also going to look at that and say, well, then sit out. We can do okay without you. Pray nowhere near as good as we could have. But if we pay you that big money and you do get hurt, then they're out. Guaranteed money is what he wants right now. So we'll have to see how that goes. It'll be interesting because if he gets his way, kind of like Le'Veon Bell got his way, where he sat out for a whole year. But Le'Veon Bell was an all-pro and almost a Hall of Famer by the time he did that. This kid is in his fourth or fifth year, so we'll have to see how all that goes coming up. But with that, we'll take a quick break and come back with a look at baseball this past weekend, plus Big Sky preseason polls. Once again, you can reach us at IanLaird3 on the Twitters, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial, or KGVM.org on the interwebs. Once again, this is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be fat and bald, but he knows it's sports. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
You don't want me. Like I want you, like I need you. And I want you in my life. And I need you.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at KGVM.org, 95.9 FM on the radio dial, or at IanLaird3 on the Twitters. Once again, the Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. With countless TVs and specials, catch all the big games, including the U.S. Open or the Open Championship, the British Open, not the U.S. one. Currently, once again, in that -5 at J.B. Holmes is your leader. Catch all the big games. Located 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, your local sports authority. Let's jump right into baseball action from the past weekend. First for the Bozeman Bucks. Bucks took on the greatest name, team name, I should say, ever. And I love it, and I'll never get enough of it. I'm going to order one of their hats because I just want to wear it everywhere. The Pabco Roofers out of Portland. I want a Pabco Roofer hat if anybody's listening out there. Bucks took care of the Roofers 4-2 on Sunday afternoon and then won the second game of the doubleheader 8-2 later that night. Bozeman now traveled to later that week on Wednesday to the West against a game against that team over in the West, the Missoula Mavericks. Bucks could not get over bus lag, though, and lost the contest 5-0. Not often do you see the Bucks give up that many runs or not score at all. They have a very good offense, so a little bus lag there, but hopefully they'll get over that this week. Bucks will still be on the road for three games against the Billings Royals this weekend, starting Saturday afternoon. First pitch is scheduled for 4 o'clock. Second game, first pitch is scheduled for 7:30 that same day. Series will then wrap up Sunday with the first pitch scheduled for 1 o'clock that day. Bucks will then wrap up the regular season with a home game against the Billings Scarlets Monday. First pitch for that is scheduled for 7. Moving on to Class A ball, the 2019 Montana Southern A Regional Tournament. Schedule and bracket was announced earlier this week. All the games will take place at Bozeman's Heroes Park. Come down to watch some of the good baseball and cheer on your hometown Bozeman Bucks or the Belgrade Bandits or the Gallatin Valley Outlaws. Those games are all coming up here. We'll read the schedule here in a second. The Gallatin County Fair is going on at the same time, so please plan to arrive early in case you have to park farther away from the field than you normally typically do. Also, bring some extra money to win some of those great Def Leppard or Budweiser Girl posters. Remember, all the carnival games are rigged, so plan on spending your kids' college funds trying to win a 5-foot-tall knockoff doll of Barney named Carney. They don't even have the Gravitron this year. I heard that from somebody on the interwebs or on the Bookface that there's no Gravitron. I think there's still a Tilt-A-Whirl, but Gravitron was the greatest thing ever. The Def Leppard guy with the mullet, some great just heavy hairband rock as you spun around in a circle. It was great times, and it's very sad that the kids nowadays don't get to experience that. They can go on, what is that other one called, the scissor or spinner or something like that? The zipper, that's what it was. I went on that once with a girl that I really liked, and I thought, oh, I'm going to impress her and go on the zipper. I'm pretty sure I threw up on her shoes, and that was the last time she ever talked to me. Once again, Carrie, I am sorry that I did that, and hopefully one of these days when our reunions come around, you will forgive me. Now on to actual baseball news. Here is the schedule. It starts again today. Some of these games are going on as we speak. 10 o'clock today, the Dillon Cubs took on the Butte Mariners. That's the 4-5 seed game. In the number 1 8 seed game, the Belgrade Bandits are playing right now. 1 o'clock is when they started. They are playing the Anaconda A's. Once again, the A's are the 8th seed. Number 2 seed, Gallatin Valley Outlaws, will take on the Livingston Braves, the 7th seed. That game is at 4 o'clock. And the final contest of the first day is the Helena Reps. At 7:30, they're the 3 seed taking on the Bozeman Bucks A team. That they are seeded number 6, and of course they are the hosts. Friday, so tomorrow, 10 o'clock game is the loser out game between Dillon and Butte and Belgrade and Anaconda. Second game is the loser out game between the Gallatin Valley Outlaws and Livingston Braves and the Helena Reps and the Bozeman Bucks. And then later on at 4 and 7 o'clock, you'll have the winners of the first two contests as well going against each other. That round robin thing goes on all the way through the bracket till Sunday at 1 o'clock. There will be the championship, and then Monday, if necessary, if the loser then comes through the bracket and hasn't played the winner before, they will come back through Monday if needed, the 22nd, that game to be determined on the schedule. But those games all started today at 10 o'clock. If you have a chance at all to go check out some of that action, I would definitely recommend it. It's a lot of fun. Once again, your local teams, the Bandits, are playing right now at 1 o'clock against Anaconda. We'll see if we can get some scores here in the break to catch up on some of those. 4 o'clock this afternoon, the Gallatin Valley Outlaws will play the Livingston Braves. And then 7:30 tonight, the Bozeman Bucks will take on the Helena Reps. So make sure you go out there if you have a chance and watch some great Class A baseball. Always good to support your local teams that support you around the Valley. We'll take another quick break and come back with a look at some preseason polls for the Big Sky that are kind of interesting in my mind. Also, we'll take a look at the D-line for the Bobcats coming into next year. We've kind of been breaking down different groups going through this year, and the next one will be the D-line before we move on to offensive line, and we'll finish with quarterbacks. Of course, that's the big story for everybody. But before that, we'll take a look at the polls, the All-American team, or All-Big Sky team, and all that. So once again, you're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be bad at sports, but he loves talking about them. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Oh, the joy come over me when you came into my life. Sweet love that you bring me cut through my darkness like a knife. And when I thought my life was almost at an end, you gave me the strength to start it over again. Ooh, I knew the meaning of true love until you came into my life. I never knew the meaning of true love.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Playing a lot. I watched a lot of these songs come from, oh, what's the name of that show? True Little Lies or Big Little Lies or Dirty Little Lies, the lie show that my wife watches on HBO. Didn't really ever get into the show a ton. The first season I did, the second season not so much. I watched the last couple episodes, though, and wow, is that a powerful show. And it all comes down to Nicole Kidman versus Is it Meryl Streep? Glenn Close, one of those two. They look the same. One of those in the final episode, so make sure you check that out if you get a chance. Obviously, that's how much I know about it. Once again, the Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill with countless TVs and specials. Catch all the big games, including the British Open in Ireland, located at 19 Tye Lane by the MSU campus. Spectator's phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, your local sports authority. So, earlier this week, preseason polls came out, as well as the preseason awards. So let's dive right into those real quickly. First, for the preseason polls, both of them pretty much the same. When you look at them, the coaches poll had Eastern Washington at number one. Or excuse me, this is the media poll, had Eastern Washington at number one with 25 votes. 536 first-place votes, 536 points total. UC Davis come in second with 13 first-place votes. Weber State was third with 4. Montana State in this poll was 4th, and University of Montana was 5th. They had 1 first-place vote. The Cats had none. Rounding it out, Northern Arizona at 6th. 7th place was Idaho State. 8th was Idaho. 9th was Cal Poly. 10th was Portland State, 11th Southern Utah, 12th Sacramento State, and rounding out the bottom, as always, was Northern Colorado. In the coaches poll, once again, first place votes are in, you know, each team gets one. You can't vote for your own team. So each team gets one first place vote for whoever they are. Can't vote for your own, so that's why you don't see somebody getting all the votes. Eastern Washington did have 10 first place votes from the coaches and led with 140 points. UC Davis, again, at second. They had 2 first-place votes at 127 points. Weber State had no first-place votes, and they finished third. Fourth in this one was Montana. The Grizzlies got 1 first-place vote, and you'll never guess who that was from. It was actually, from what I hear, from Coach Choate, and the only first-place vote that was in the media poll was from the media member from Montana State. So there you go. The Cats supposedly, and from what I hear, voted for the Grizzlies in first place. Cats got no first place votes and ended up 5th in the coaches poll. Northern Arizona at 6th, Idaho State 7, Idaho at 8, Cal Poly at 9, Portland State at 10, Sacramento State 11, Southern Utah at 12, and again Northern Colorado at 13th. Not a big surprise that Northern Colorado is at the bottom. They've been at the bottom for quite a few years now. Haven't really been able to get their program on track. It's tough to do when you have a tiny little stadium in the middle of a cow pasture, but we wish them the best, and I'm glad that they're one of our rivals, so we play them and beat them every year. Breaking down the poll, I don't really have an issue with any of it. I think Eastern Washington will be number one. They have a tough out-of-conference schedule, but then they don't play anybody worth a dang in the actual season. They get away from playing any of the top teams. They don't play Montana State. They don't play Weber State or UC Davis. They do play Montana in Missoula. They play Idaho and some of the other ones, but they get away from all the really tough teams. And so that's why I think they're number one, and they should be number one. Going into the season, UC Davis has a stud for a quarterback, so I don't see them slipping any. Hawkins has things going in the right way there. They're planning a huge expansion, so I know they're looking for a huge year this year because of that. Weber State's always going to be tough. Those Mormon kids know how to run the ball. And so they're always going to be a good team. They're not going to be anything flashy. They're going to have a great defense. They're going to slow you down, grind it out. It's not going to be the most exciting game, but they're always good. And Montana State should, with their easy schedule, end up in the top four. They don't play Weber. They don't play Eastern Washington. They do play UC Davis. I think it's the only tough team they have. And, of course, they play the Grizzlies in the last game of the year. But other than that, the Cats' schedule is pretty easy as well. So look at them right about there. They get some breaks go their way. I think I saw a poll where it just went with statistics, numbers-wise, what are the chances, ranking-wise, that each team's going to win. And the Cats actually lost their first game. Then they were favored in every other game the rest of the year. So that's something to look at. They don't play anybody tough either. They're going to be favored in all those. So they're not expecting them to lose many of the games that they play as well. So it should be an interesting year. I think the big story will be, can the Grizzlies come back, and can the Cats find a quarterback, like always, that can throw the ball? Moving on to All Big Sky honors. And this time I do have a little bit of an issue with some of them. Not all of them. Offensive play MVP, preseason offensive MVP is Jake Meyer, the senior quarterback out of UC Davis. That was expected. He's a great player and should play on to the pros probably next year. Defensive MVP was Dante Olsen, a senior linebacker out of Montana. That's not a big surprise. He is a beast and a stud. He's getting compared to Alex Singleton, Jordan Tripp, all those played in the NFL or CFL now. Alex Singleton's in the NFL now, but better. They say that they have the same body type, but a little faster, a little stronger. So it's not surprising that he won defensive MVP. On the offensive side, again, the senior quarterback was Jake Meyer. UC Davis is Mitch, or from UC Davis. Mitch Geller from Idaho State is the wide receiver. The other wide receiver is Samuel Kemp from Montana. Not a big surprise there. Jared Harrell rounds out the wide receivers from UC Davis. He's a stud as well. Not a surprise. Mitch Broad at offensive tackle from the Bobcats. So there's the first of five for the Cats. Chris Schlichting, yeah, I said it right. Senior offensive tackle for Eastern Washington. Noah Johnson, the senior offensive guard from Idaho. Ty Whitworth, a junior offensive guard from Weber. And Zach Larson, a senior center. From Southern Utah. And then Charlie Taumapio, a senior tight end from Polynesia. And Portland State, Josh Davis, a sophomore running back from Weber State. There I have a little issue. And Isaiah Dotson, junior running back from Sacramento State, was the other running back. At fullback, you have your second Bobcat on this list, Troy Anderson, a junior fullback from Montana State. They didn't know where to put him, so they just put him down as he was my fullback pick for all conference in the Big Sky. So Troy Anderson, who will not play fullback probably, is the preseason all Big Sky player at that position. Trey Tuttle, a junior, is the place kicker from Weber State, and Shahid Rashid from Weber State, a stud, a junior, is the return specialist. The kicker I would have taken out and put in Padmos as our punter, but that's just me. On defense, Dalen Gross, a senior defensive tackle from Northern Arizona. Keaton Bartlett, a senior defensive tackle from Portland State. Adam Rodriguez, a senior defensive end from Weber State. Jonah Williams, a junior defensive end from Weber State. Austin Tetch, a senior offensive outside linebacker from Weber State. So that's a lot of Weber State right there, and that's why they're so good. They might not be the flashiest team, but they're going to have a ton of defensive power. Bryce Stirk, the senior from Montana State, is at outside linebacker. He actually plays like a D-end type position, but that's okay. That's kind of what they have him at. We'll talk a little bit later about how he might even move inside a little bit. Dante Olsen, the senior inside linebacker from Montana. That makes sense. Cody Graves, the senior inside linebacker from Idaho State. Don't know about that one. I think by the end of it, Trey Anderson's going to be taking that position. Khalil Dorsey, the senior cornerback from Northern Arizona. Sure. Greg Filer, a senior cornerback from Montana State. He's a great cornerback, so that doesn't surprise me at all. Akeen Aguare, a senior safety from Idaho State. That is a huge mistake. We'll talk about that in a second. He should not be on that list. Another Bobcat should be. The other senior spot is a Bobcat, Braden Conkle, a senior safety from Montana State. Kate Coffey, a junior punter from Idaho. And Jace Lewis, a junior special teams player from Montana. So in that group, you've got a lot of Bobcats, five total Bobcats in the offense and defensive side. Braden Conkle is a stud. I think that Stirk will end up being the best DN / even inside guy they have at linebacker that there is out there. When it comes down to it, Dante Olsen, again, for the Grizz is a stud. I don't know how you snub, and I somewhat get it for Isaiah Ifanse. Ifanse, like I said, I can see it a little bit other than the other two having extra year or two by seen by all the media. That's probably why that they jumped above him. I think by the end of this year, they'll look at him as one of the best in the Big Sky. And then he's going to be a junior, senior year. He's going to be a wrecking ball, and that'll be the end of it. If he can stay healthy, I see him being all league for the next couple years. So that one doesn't bother me as much as this next one. How is Jaquay Allen not on the first team all Big Sky preseason list? Terrible omission in my mind. How can you leave him off? He was the leading he had led the league in interceptions with five of them last year. He forced four other fumbles in games. He's a huge hitter. He had another chance for another two or three interceptions. He missed a couple games because he was injured, and he still put up the best numbers as of any safety that's out there when it came to ball hawking. Conkle's a smash mouth player, doesn't have the speed and the eye Twitch that that Alan does. He made it, and he should have. He's one of the best as well. But those two back there should have been both first team. That is a huge slight to Alan. I talked to him earlier this week. We're trying to get him on the show here in a couple of days, and he basically said the same thing. He said, I'm shocked that I didn't make that list, and I'm going to make people remember. I'm going to use that slight to my advantage in the upcoming year, and I feel bad for any player or any team that has to go against them, especially some of these passing teams. If our D-line and our linebackers can play like they can, and they're not going to have a lot of time, they're just going to have to throw up the ball, Allen's going to have an even bigger year and then go on. I think he is definitely NFL caliber and NFL ready. The fact that he didn't make that list is a tragedy in my mind. I just don't see how anybody else could have made that list other than him and Conklin. I think they're the two best safeties that are out there in the conference right now. Take a quick update before we go into commercial break on the Open. It is still BJ Holmes at 5-under. Pretty much everybody is done now since it's way over the pond. The only ones that can maybe catch him, there's a couple players that are 3-under with Austin Turner is at 3-under through 14. So they might be able to, but it looks like going into tomorrow, BJ Holmes and Shane Lowry will be your leaders at 5-under and 4-under respectively. And if right now the cut line looks like it'll be +1. So +1 right now as the cut line. Some of your big names again on that. Zach Johnson at +3, Phil Mickelson at +5, Tiger Woods at +7, and Rory McIlroy, who was the favorite going into this, at +8. In the Barbasol, pretty much everybody's wrapped up there as well. Nick Taylor in second place behind JT Poston. He is at -9, JT Poston at -10. So we'll take another quick break right now, come back with a look at the defensive line for the Cats and wrap up the show. Once again, you can reach us at IanLaird3 on the Twitters, 95.9 FM on your radio dial, or KGVM.org on the interwebs. This is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be fat and bald, but he knows it's sports. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Well, it ain't no use to sit and wonder why, baby, even you don't know by now. And it ain't no use to sit and wonder why, baby, it'll never do somehow. When your rooster crows at the break of dawn, look out your window and I'll be gone. You're the reason I'm traveling on, but don't think twice, it's all right. And it ain't no use in the turning on your light, babe, the light I never knowed. And it ain't no use in turning on your light, baby. I'm on the dark side of the road. But I wish there was something you would do or say to try and make me change my mind and stay. But we never did too much talking anyway.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. All right. Once again, the Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill with countless TVs and specials. Catch all the big games, including the Open Championship. Spectator is located in 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Their phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, your local sports authority. So, we talked earlier about the different groups and positions we've been going through. We've gone through wide receivers. We got through running backs, secondary linebackers. And now we'll move to the defensive side. Right up front, the big heavies in the defensive line. Defensive line group starts up front, like I said, one of the best, I think, last year in the Big Sky. Of course, it ended with that huge stop against the Grizzlies. This year, they lost some players and everything else, but I think this year, some of the players that take over them, I mean, this team could be even better. This defensive line could be even better than they were last year. And like I said, it all starts up front and outside with Bryce Sterk. Again, preseason All Big Sky pick, 6'5", 250-pound senior from Linden, Washington. Bryce Sterk transferred to the Bobcats from the University of Washington before starting before the start of last season. Last year, Sturck proved to be one of, if not the best defensive ends in the conference, recording 61 total tackles, 39 of them solo, 17 tackles for loss, and 8.5 sacks. Sturck also struggled with a left, I believe it was his left hand injury, where he used a club for the last couple of weeks that he was playing, so he didn't have a lot of leverage with that left hand other than just clubbing people. Sturck is penned to play defensive end, but Colter Nuanez from Skyline Sports has mentioned that they could shift him inside at points in the games, forcing defenses to double-team inside. And again, leaving outside rushers and linebackers wide open if you're blitzing or just one-on-one penetration in those kind of situations, because you can't leave Sturck one-on-one. You have to double-team him wherever he's at. That's going to open up some of the lanes for other players. Bryce Sturck is a stud. I don't see any way that he doesn't compete for one of the top spots next year in the Big Sky, if not the country. And if the coach is using him well and he plays well, I see him also being one of the lights just shut off in here and it kind of freaked me out. Also being one of the top players in the FCS and going on hopefully to the pros as a linebacker, probably at that position if he has the speed. But in the Big Sky, he's one of the best, and I say it all starts with him up front for the Cats. Some other big names coming into next year, of course, Chase Benson, 6'4", 365-pound junior from Helena High. Chase played in all 13 games last year, recording 22 tackles, 12 of them solo. Benson will be a huge factor this year as Tucker Yates and company on the inside all graduated last year. Look for him to rotate in the interior part of the line. He can play either spot on the inside and some outside as well. And, of course, we remember Benson, Derek Marks, and Yates will always be remembered. But moving on to Derek Marks, 6'1", 245-pound senior from Belgrade, Montana. Marks came on strong last year, recording 30 tackles, 21 of them solo, 5 tackles for loss, 2.5 sacks. Marks could never play another game for the Cats, I think, for the rest of his life, and still would never have to buy a drink for himself or anybody else because, of course, the miracle in Missoula, game line stand and forced fumble. Marks will be a huge for depth and could start again next year, depending on some of how these transfers we'll talk about here in a second come in. But Marks, Benson, the younger Yates kid that is coming in, some of those kids have a chance to play pretty quickly. That's very deep. I don't see a lot of them having to play the whole game. They'll sub in and out, some third down rushers, some first down big guys to block up the middle if they think that it's going to be a passing down or a throwing down, or excuse me, a running down, and then get some of those speed guys in if they think it's going to be a passing down to get to the quarterback quick, make him make decisions early. But the defensive line is stacked. I think we have a lot of depth coming from last year, and that's not talking about these next two players. Some of the players they added this year are two huge ones. And when I say huge, I mean in all ways. First, Jason Skrempos, 6'6", 299-pound senior from Milpitas, Washington. He is also a transfer from the University of Washington, so Choate's time there was not wasted, as we're getting a lot of Washington kids transferring over. Jason is a huge man at 6'6", 299. And you can't teach size like that. The arm length and the size and just the bulk of him is hard to teach. He has the frame and the video when you watch it of one of the best in the country at our level. I think he'll be that by the end of the year. Again, he hasn't played for the Cats, hasn't played a snap yet for them. So we really have no clue how good he will be once he straps on the pads. But from his tape, playing against Pac-12 competition and everything else that you saw him play against, he is going to be a game changer, I think, in the middle, especially if he can get in the middle there. He's not going to be the fastest one, but if he can get in the middle and just scrum it up, hold up those players to where they can do the other players can get there and everything else, not allow some big holes in the middle for running game, I think that's going to be huge, and he is a very huge man. The other transfer is Amandre Williams, a 6'2", 248-pound junior from Maple Valley, Washington. Easy name to say. He also transferred from University of Washington. Williams is another one that could help out big time on the interior of the D-line. Again, like Skrempos, we haven't seen him play yet, but the two of them look bigger and quicker than anybody that we have had really in the near past. Yates is one of them that looks a lot like these guys. But on their tape, they have Pac-12 talent. They are 3-4-star athletes that are coming here, a chance to play, kind of like Jaquay Allen, who transferred here from Virginia Tech in the safety, some of those other players, Filer and some of them that transferred here. They want a chance to play. Their grades are good, and they just want to play football and be able to have a chance to compete at a big-time level. And I think those kids, that's why they transferred here. They believe in Choate. Choate was their D-line coach probably when they were recruited. So that's good as well. They know they're going into a system that they're familiar with. A lot of coaches, when new coaches come in or they get their full team going, a lot of these players that maybe were there before the last coach kind of get shuffled out a little bit. And it's a sad way that it is, but that's the way football is. So I think the D-line, really, if they can get those kids all healthy, staying healthy for the year, be able to clog up the middle, have that speed on the outside. Then you throw those linebackers with Anderson, Hill, and some of the other ones that are back there. That's going to be a very, very tough defense to play against. If you can pressure the quarterback early, get to him early, that's going to throw off all of the passing game for any of the quarterbacks that we play. And if that's thrown off at all, if those reads aren't perfect, that secondary with Allen and Conkle and the rest of them, Filer, they're going to pick those teams apart when that ball is in the air. They all know how to ball hawk. They all know how to hit. Sometimes a little too aggressively, as we saw Filer last year. Munchie has a tendency to hit hard and then taunt a little bit, but that's the kind of attitude you need back there. We talked to Joey Thomas about it. That's what you want from those players, is that kind of I'm going to get you attitude and that play's gone and I'm the best out there. So that secondary has that. If that D-line can be as good, if not better, than they were last year, look out for this defense. You don't need to score a lot of points if you're the Bobcats offense, and it's not going to be a pretty probably offense. We'll talk more about that in the next couple weeks. But if you have a defensive line like you do and you can slow down that run and make the quarterback have to throw it early, not be able to scramble around because you have the speed to track him down, that's going to pay huge dividends, especially when your biggest games the Cats play are going to be at home in a hostile environment for that other team. You're not going into somebody else's place and trying to rattle them in front of their own crowd. The crowd will do that for them as well. Well, that'll wrap it up for today. Once again, we'll take a quick look at what's going on today. Belgrade Bandits are playing right now against Anaconda. 4 o'clock this afternoon out at Heroes Field here in Bozeman, the Gallatin Valley Outlaws play the Livingston Braids in the 2-7 seed, and of course the Helena Reps will play the Bozeman Bucks in the 3-6 seed tonight at 7:30. Make sure you go check that out. Go to the carnival, eat some tater pigs or whatever they have out there, and enjoy your weekend. This has been the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.